Thank you, Kayla, and thank you, church, for your faithfulness and your financial stewardship. I've got an exciting report I'm going to share with you in a couple of minutes about how God continues to provide for our church. And so turn with me in your Bible this morning to Psalm 67. We're going to be there in just a moment. And Happy New Year, everybody. Yeah, I hope you had a wonderful and blessed Christmas. Janice and I, the day after Christmas, got to go up to Seattle. We spent about 5 days with our children and our grandchildren. And one of the highlights for us was last Sunday at Jennifer and Dan's home church. We had the privilege of dedicating grandchild number 7 to the Lord. And so that was a great joy for us to be able to participate in that. And then, after church, we went over to Overlake Hospital, and we got to have a little bit of time with Jacob Pomeroy. Now, for those of you who might be newer to the church, Jacob is the 20-year-old son of our former associate pastor, Troy and Kathy Pomeroy. And just about 4 weeks ago, Jacob was diagnosed with leukemia. And so we've been praying for him. He is in the hospital. He was actually in really good spirits, and he looked good. We just had a wonderful time being able to visit with him. A number of people have asked, well, what can we do? And so, of course, I asked Troy that question, what can we do to be a help? And, his answer was just pray. And so that's the first thing we're going to do as a church. We're going to pray for Jacob's healing. We're going to believe God for complete healing in Jacob's body. Amen. But then I got to thinking, there must be something else we could do. So I came up with this little idea that I'm calling Operation Bombard Jacob. And basically it's this, it's pretty simple. I would like us to just bombard Jacob with cards and letters. Like, for him to get something, a pile in the mail every day, right? And what an encouraging thing for him to know that people are really praying for him, that he is loved. And so I want to encourage you to just write down that address, or if you don't have a paper and pencil, you probably have your camera or phone with you. Just take a picture of the address there. This is actually the Pomeroy's home address, because I wasn't sure how long Jacob would be in the hospital for. We'll send those cards and letters to the home address. And what a difference. And so, I'm excited about this. I think it's going to be so special and memorable for Jacob, and he is going to be so encouraged. Now, you might be there thinking, I don't know Jacob. I've never met that family. That's okay. You can still send him a card telling him you're praying for him, right? I mean, let's just all do it. How amazing that would be. In fact, if someone wants to post this on Facebook, we can just get this thing going viral, right? And we can shut down the postal service. Let's just go for it. And so thank you. Thank you so much. I believe that is going to be such a wonderful, wonderful blessing. I promised that I would share with you a financial miracle. 2 weeks ago, I shared with you that we needed a miracle to help us end the year with a positive net income. Back in November, the very end of October, 1st of November, because of a number of unexpected, unanticipated expenses, we found ourselves about $50,000 in the negative on the year. And so we didn't panic. We just trusted the Lord and believed God. And sure enough, in November, we were able to erase half of that deficit, $25,000. And through increased giving and cutting on some expenses. And so that left us about $25,000. And so 2 weeks ago, I shared that with you. We prayed together. We said, let's just believe God. I mean, it wouldn't be the end of the world if we wound up the end of the year in the red. But I didn't want to do that. And I wanted to believe God for that provision. And so with the Lord's help and your guys' response, we had an amazing December. And we finished December, listen to this, $44,500 to the good. right? And so on the year, not only did we, you know, wipe out the deficit, we actually wound up the year over $20,000 to the positive for last year. And I'm just so thankful to the Lord. I'm thankful to you. Isn't God good? Yeah. Isn't God good? He is our provider. God is good. He does good things for his children. And I am believing with you, not only for the blessing of God upon Bethel Church, I'm believing we're going to have the best year ever as a church, but I'm also believing that for your life, that you're going to have a blessed year. God is good, and he blesses his people. He really does. That doesn't mean everything is great and easy. It just means everything is blessed. There's a difference between those two things. Because the difficult things, God turns those, even the difficulties, around for our good. That's what the Bible tells us. And so we're going to believe God for the best, for great, great blessings. You know, after the Christmas season, there can be kind of a letdown in our lives for a lot of people. I suppose because there's so much buildup to Christmas, right? There's so much anticipation, and you're doing things with your family, you're buying gifts. I mean, my wife, bless her heart, she's already started buying gifts for next Christmas. There's just this buildup for Christmas, and then afterwards, it's kind of like, well, it's still winter, and it's still dark and cold out, but there's no Christmas to look forward to, right? And so that's a natural thing. But I want to encourage you this morning. Let's shift our attention away from Christmas, and let's shift our attention to the reason Jesus came. Right? The reason Jesus came. I have a poem I want to share with you. This is written by an African-American theologian by the name of Howard Thurman. It goes like, it's called The Work of Christmas. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, and when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among the people, to make music in the heart. Church, what better way to continue to celebrate Christmas than to continue to do the things that Jesus came into this world to do? Amen? And so as you think about your goals, your ambitions for this coming year, which I encourage you to do that, but don't forget to include in all of those goals, what difference do you want to make for the kingdom of God? What difference can I make for the Lord in his kingdom? What difference can I make in someone's life, all right? And I believe that as we do that, God will indeed bless us. So let's read this Psalm 67. I'm going to read the entire chapter. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us so that your ways may be known on the earth, your salvation among all the nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the peoples with equity. You guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still so that the ends of the earth will fear him. All right, so let's just jump back to those first two verses that are on the screen. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us so that your ways may be known on the earth, your salvation among the people. So looking at just those two verses, does God want to judge us or be gracious to us? He wants to be gracious to us. Does God want to curse or to bless? He wants to bless, right? Does God want to turn his back on us or have his face shine upon us? Yeah. So we know what the will of God is. God's desire, his heart is to bless us. So church, let's believe God for greatness in 2020. Amen? Let's don't even believe for average. Let's believe for greatness. in 2020. Let's believe God for the best year of our lives. And let's cheer each other on along the way, right? Whether it's someone getting that promotion, or starting a new business, or finishing up that last class toward graduation, or buying that new house, or writing that book that's been in your heart for a long time, or learning to play an instrument, or learning to do sign language, or joining that ministry that you've thought about, or starting a life group, whatever it is, go for it. Yeah, go for it. And then, church, let's cheer one another on. Let's be each other's greatest cheerleaders and believe God for one another, for the blessing of God. So next week, I'm going to be sharing about how I believe God is moving us in this next season of our church life. And I'm also going to be sharing, I'm excited about this coming year, by the way. I'm really excited about it. And then next week, we're going to launch our annual 21 days of prayer and fasting. And we're going to be talking about that more next week. So this morning, we're going to talk about fasting. And some of you right now, you're thinking, man, I thought we were talking about blessing. And now we're talking about fasting, right? Well, I hope by the end of the message today, you're going to see that this season of fasting and prayer really is a blessing. It really is. And my prayer is that if you have no understanding of fasting, you're going to come to understand what fasting is all about, because it seems kind of strange to us. If you fasted before, my prayer is that God's going to give you a new perspective on fasting, and you're going to be more excited about this 21-day period than you've ever been before. In case you haven't figured this out by now, the Christian life is a life of opposites, right? Jesus didn't come to keep the status quo. When Jesus came, he turned everything upside down, including going into the temple and going all Hulk on them and flipping over the tables. And right? Jesus turned the religious world on its ear. And so he taught things like the first will be last and the last will be first. It's a kingdom of opposites. He taught things like it's more blessed to give than to receive. He taught things like if you want to really please the Lord, you learn to be a servant, not to expect other people to wait upon you. Okay? So it's a kingdom of opposites. But I want you to know, in this kingdom of opposites, what God has to offer is so much better than anything the world could ever give us, that it's not even worth comparing. So when we talk about fasting this morning, perhaps you're thinking to yourself, Tim, why on earth would anyone want to do something like that? Why fast? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to answer that question for you. And I'm going to give you three reasons to fast, all right? What is this whole thing about, all right? So I want to encourage you to jot down some notes this morning. So I give you these three things. I'll give you a number of scriptures. The first one is this: why fast? Fasting shifts our attention from earth to heaven. It helps us shift our attention from earth to heaven. Fasting is about making a shift in our lives. We're shifting our attention and we're shifting our affection. Let's face it, church, there's a million things screaming for our attention, right? I'm a list maker, so let me just give you a few lists to think about. One of the things that's screaming for our attention is just the things in life we have to do. I mean, there's a whole list of things we have to do. Go to work, drive the kids to school, clean the house, fold the laundry, take down the Christmas lights, go to the dentist, right? I mean, the list could go on and on of just daily routine, chores, things we have to do. But then add on to that list, there's a lot of things that we don't have to do, but we probably should do, right? So then you got a whole nother list there. And then there's those things you don't really need to do, but you like to do them, right? And so you got a whole list there. And then there's probably a few things on your list of things you really shouldn't be doing at all, but you're doing them anyway, right? And so we got all of these things, and we get so busy. Honestly, one of the things that a lot of us could handle fasting from is not food, but we could handle a fast from this thing right here, right? I mean, let's just put it down for a while. Listen, I'm probably going to step on a couple toes here, but here's the reality. Some of you cannot make it through a church service without looking at your phone. That's the reality. Now think about it. You can't give Jesus your full attention for 90 minutes, right? Without checking your Instagram or your Facebook or your sports score or something like that. Listen, I do all of those things too, but everything in its place, right? In our lives. And that's one of the things that fasting does. So maybe in the 21-day period, you're going to say to yourself, man, I'm going to limit my phone time, and I'm going to take that time and spend it with Jesus instead. Fasting is like giving your soul a timeout, right? My soul needs to take some time to focus on what is more important. So as you think about your list of things that you do, you know, how high on your list is Jesus? And so fasting is a way of kind of elevating the importance of the Lord in our lives. It shifts our attention from earth to heaven, because the reality is we become what we focus on. We become what we focus on. N.T. Wright writes this: you become like what you worship. When you gaze in awe, admiration, and wonder at something or someone, you begin to take on something of the character of the object of your worship. So if we really are serious about becoming more like Jesus, it just will never happen unless we're taking time to be with Jesus, to worship him, to admire him, to sit at his feet. So as we fast, we're taking that extra time to spend with Jesus. If you fast from food but don't spend extra time in prayer, all you're going to get is hungry. Right? And if you fast from entertainment without spending extra time in God's word, all you're going to get is bored. Okay? So the point is, it's a shift. So there's two things I want to tell you about fasting as it relates to making this shift from earth to heaven. First of all, we're saying no to something in order to say yes to something better. We're saying no to something in order to say yes to something better. Okay? And then secondly, we're not trying to prove how dedicated we are. We're hungering for more of Jesus. I used to look at my fasting times as, man, if I'm really a dedicated person, if I'm a dedicated Christian, then I should be able to do this no problem. And I'd fast and fast, and became more work than it was pleasure, to be honest with you, because I was approaching it with the wrong perspective. I felt like I needed to prove how spiritual I was, right? Listen, nobody in here is fooling God, right? It's like, maybe I'll trick God for these 10 days and he's going to realize just how holy I am. No, it's not what it's about. It's about having a hunger for Jesus. Jesus said this in the Sermon on the Mount: blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. David wrote in Psalm 42, as the deer pants for streams of water, my soul longs for you, God. So that's what the fast is all about. Fasting shifts our attention from earth to heaven. Secondly, fasting strengthens your confidence, our confidence to be able to say no to the flesh and yes to the spirit. To be able to say no to the flesh and yes to the spirit. Let's face it, we live in a culture of excess. We are surrounded by overindulgence. Excess is not only accepted in our culture, it's actually encouraged and applauded, right? And it would be nice to say, well, that's them and it has no effect on us because we're Christians. But the reality is, excess and overindulgence are things we all battle against. And fasting is a way that we learn to do that kind of warfare. In Romans chapter 8, Paul talks about this battle. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So fasting is a way that we grow our spiritual muscles. It strengthens your confidence to be able to say no to the flesh and yes to the Spirit. It kind of goes like this. If I can say no to this thing for 21 days, then I can say no to it for a lifetime. Right? Or if I can say no to this thing for 21 days, then I can also say no to that other thing for 21 days. Or the flip side of the coin, if I can say yes to this thing for 21 days, then I can say yes to it for a lifetime, right? And so fasting is a way that we train ourselves that way. And I want to tell you something, in case you're wondering if this is impossible, I want to tell you this morning, in Jesus, you're way stronger than what you're thinking. You are. In the Lord, you're way stronger than what you're thinking. The Bible says, when we're weak, He is strong in us. This is an opportunity to grow our spiritual muscles and let Jesus have more sway over our lives, all right? Remember, Jesus Himself fasted. Jesus fasted, right? And He was strengthened by it. Now listen, also remember, Jesus got tempted when He fasted. Remember that? Jesus actually got tempted. So don't think, oh, when I fast, I'm going to be this spiritual giant and I'll never be tempted again. No, it's not how it works. Not how it works. You'll still face temptations. But the other reality is Jesus said no to every temptation. Right? He was tempted, but He overcame temptation. And my prayer for you is not necessarily that you're not going to have any temptations in your life ever again, but that you're going to have the power with the help of God to say no to those temptations. Fasting shifts our attention from earth to heaven, and fasting strengthens our confidence to be able to say no to the flesh and yes to the Spirit. And then number three, the last one is this. Fasting teaches us the source of real joy. Teaches us the source of real joy. A couple of weeks ago, I read a story about a man by the name of Daryl. Daryl, several years ago, walked into a pawn shop and sold a guitar for $250. Now, if this had been any ordinary beat-up old guitar, that would have been good money. But this was no ordinary guitar. You see, in addition to not being very smart, Daryl was also a thief. And he'd been working as a security guard for a California soundstage where Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers were performing. And instead of guarding the things that he was supposed to be guarding, he actually stole them, stole five guitars, and they were an estimated value of $100,000. And so here's Daryl down at the pawn shop selling a guitar that's worth $20,000 for $250, okay? Now, there are a lot of Christians that are like Daryl. Hopefully not that they're stealing guitars. But there are a lot of Christians that don't understand the value of what they have. And when you don't understand the value of what you have in the Lord, the things of this world become more and more appealing to you. Right? And so as we fast, we're saying no to the things of the world and we're finding joy in the things of the Lord. Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. All right, so everybody say joy. Joy. So we're not going to be walking around for 21 days with long, sad, poor, look at me faces. Right? We're going to have an attitude of joy in the process. Jesus, in Matthew 6, gives this instruction about fasting. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, For they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. But truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face. That's equivalent to us taking a shower. So that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. All right? So we're not going to walk around making a big deal, letting everybody in the world know, oh, I am so hungry. You know why? Because I'm so spiritual. I'm fasting. Pastor Tim, you just don't get it. I have been off Instagram for 24 hours. No. Listen, if it's making you grumpy, you're doing something wrong. Okay? If it's making you grumpy, you're missing the point. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? The joy of the Lord is our strength. So, it follows then that we're only going to have as much spiritual strength as we have joy. You'll only have as much spiritual strength as you have joy. So I'm praying that this is going to be a joyful experience. And by the way, church, what we do here at church should be joyful. Amen? It should be a joy. Church should be a joyful place. Not that there aren't challenges that we need to face and we need to be real, but what we do, church, should be a joy. You know what destroys a lot of churches? I mean, there are a lot of things that can happen, but I think one of the things that destroys a lot of churches, people just start getting grumpy. Right? They get grumpy with each other, and then church becomes stressful. And listen, it should be a joy what we do here. Amen? A great joy. We don't have time and energy for pettiness and small-mindedness and bickering and meanness. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? So let's what we do here with joy, right? Let's worship Jesus with joy. Let's serve in the church with joy. Let's teach Sunday school with joy, right? Let's serve on the church board with joy. Let's do it joyfully. Yeah. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength, and God is going to bless that joy. I want you to see the end of what Jesus says there. This is a great promise about fasting. Right? It says, your Father who is unseen and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. There's going to be a reward from God as you take this time to spend with the Lord. So we're going to launch all of this next Sunday. We'll say more to you. We've got a devotional that I've written called 21 Days in God's Goodness. And we're going to be focusing on just how good God is, all right? We're going to launch this thing, as I said, next Sunday. Be here next Sunday as we launch into this. Let's do this all together, fasting and praying and seeking the Lord together. Listen, every year as we start the year, one of the things I think is I wonder if this could be the year that Jesus comes back. I mean, could this be it? I don't know why not. I mean, this could be it. And then, church, we're going to have the presence of the Lord and the joy of the Lord for all eternity. Amen? But here's what I want to leave us with this morning. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait till Jesus comes back to have his joy. You don't have to wait till Jesus comes back to have his peace. He gives these things to his people right now. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, as you enter into this 21 days of fasting and prayer, they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, in life, there's a general principle that we get out of things what we put into them. It's a general principle. You're going to get out of your exercise program what you put into it, right? If you're on a sports team, you're going to get out of that what you put into it. If you're going to school, you're going to get out of school what you put into it, right? Your business, if you're a business owner, you're going to get out of it what you put into it. This is just a general rule of thumb, but I want you to know that that general rule of thumb doesn't really apply to the things of God. Here's why. With the things of God, we actually get way more out of it than what we put into it, right? And I'm not saying we shouldn't do our part. We need to. But I'm just saying we can expect way more than what we put in. That's called grace. It's called grace. So this 21 days of spending time with the Lord, I'm promising you, you're going to get way more out of it than what you put into it. And it might not be instantaneous. I've had many, many times of fasting and prayer where I got the end of my fast and I thought, well, nothing happened there. Only to find out a week later, a month later, 2 months later, that God was doing something in my life that I didn't even understand. Right? I'll promise you, God is, whether you sense it or not, see it or not, God is going to be at work. He's going to be doing something in your life. Perhaps you're here this morning and you just feel like, man, I need a new spark in my life. My spiritual life is kind of dried up. Perhaps you feel like, man, I've just lost my joy. I've lost my joy. I want to encourage you today. You haven't lost your joy. If Jesus is in your life, you haven't lost your joy. You've just misplaced it. Right? And the Lord wants to help you find it back again. And so if you need a restart of the joy of the Lord in your life, I want to pray just that for you today, that the joy of the Lord is going to be restored to you, all right? You're going to understand just how great the Lord is and how great the things he's doing in your life are. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The first thing I want to do is I want to give people the opportunity here to open your heart up to the Lord, maybe for the first time, or maybe you're here and you need to make a recommitment of your life to Jesus. You're looking at your life, and if you were to be honest, you would recognize there's not a lot of real substantial joy there. Maybe there's some things that kind of make you happy from time to time. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus gives a joy that is beyond circumstances. He gives peace to our life that goes beyond our ability to understand. And it all starts with Jesus. Without Jesus, there is no real life. There is no real peace. It's only Jesus that can forgive us of our past and give us a new start, a new life. And so if you're here this morning and you'd like to pray to receive Jesus into your life, I'd like to lead you in a prayer this morning right where you're at. And I'm going to count to three. When I get to three, if you'd like to pray to receive Jesus into your life, or you need to make a recommitment of your life to Jesus and you want to do that right now, it'd be my privilege to lead you in a prayer. When I get to three, just raise your hand. And when you raise your hand up, you're just saying, Tim, that's me. I want to be included in this prayer. Today, I want to recommit my life to Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus. If that's you today, we all need the Lord. We all need the Lord. God loves you way more than what you've been thinking. He really does. He wants to give you his peace. He wants to give you life, and he wants you to know the joy that he has for you. So if that's you and you want to be included in this prayer, just raise your hand when I get to three. One, two, three. Awesome. I'm going to wait just a moment. Any others this morning? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You can put your hands down. And I'm going to invite those of you who raise your hand. Would you just pray this very simple prayer with me in church? Would you pray along with those that have raised their hand? Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I've been doing things my own way, and I admit to you it's not working. So, Lord, this morning, I open my heart up to you. Come into my life and change me. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. And I believe you have risen from the dead. So this morning I give my heart to you. Amen.